Well, I have no idea what we should talk to Riley about. This could be a very boring interview, not much to talk about other than K-State replacing a legend with Chris Klieman from North Dakota State. Riley, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Yeah, man, I haven't had anything to talk about the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's been a pretty boring time up here.
Yeah, pretty mundane. I understand it. Okay, well, let's just jump in. Chris Klieman, new head coach at Kansas State. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think it definitely caught me off guard. I thought kind of that the fan backlash that it hit social media as his name started to leak a little bit. I thought that maybe would push Gene Taylor in a different direction. But, you know, he decided to go with his guy. You know, he decided to do what he felt was right, and kudos to Gene Taylor for, you know, if he has someone that he wants, he has someone that he thinks can do this job, go out and hire him. Do I think maybe he was the top candidate out there that he definitely could have hired? You know, probably not. I think he could have gotten Jim Leavitt, and I think he probably could have gotten Neil Brown at Troy. And those guys are probably easier sells to certain people just because they've played on this kind of level before. But also at the same time, Chris Klieman is a very, very good coach. And I'm sure we'll get into this here in a second, but I mean, when you have a guy that wins as much as he does, I don't really care what level it's on. Overall, I really think this is a pretty good hire by K-State. It's one that Gene Taylor feels comfortable with, and you know, all this fan unrest is going to go away pretty quickly if he gets in here and starts winning.
Okay, so I was talking about this before we brought you on today, and this is, and I'm not being critical of the K-State fan base. I'm being critical of all fan bases because they're all very similar, and that is, and it's this way with professional sports, college sports, even high school sports. I've seen over the years, people are ready to get rid of somebody, and they just assume that their number one choice for who they want to be the head coach is going to be the next head coach, and then once that person isn't chosen, then all of a sudden, they hate anybody that's picked to replace the guy that they wanted out in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, look, let's just kind of address it. Seth Luttrell was, you know, the hot name out there because, you know, certain media outlets continued to push him as this guy. You know, I know I've come on this show and talked about how we kind of thought he would be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
We thought he was the favorite and all that stuff. New stuff has come to light over the last week. Seth Luttrell was never as close to this job as some people choose to believe he was. I'm telling you that for a fact. He wasn't that close. This was, at the end of the day, one of those situations, you know, kind of what I kind of feared from the start with Seth Luttrell was that his agent was kind of out here pushing his name, you know, hey, let's kind of float this. Let's tell certain media outlets that you're the favorite, and then they'll start, you know, things like that. Seth Luttrell got an interview. He spoke to Gene Taylor about the position, and I think he was interested in the position. But at the end of the day, Gene Taylor, I truly believe, decided that this wasn't his guy, and in order to save face, he quote-unquote pulled out, said, we have unfinished business at North Texas. Well, that if you had interest in this job, you wouldn't have pulled out. Seth Luttrell wasn't going to get the job. He wasn't as close of a favorite as some people said, and unfortunately, that's been a negative backlash on everybody, and I think the only person that wouldn't have gotten so much negative backlash with the non-being Seth Luttrell was if Neil Brown was hired. And why is that? Because they're both young guys. They both are up-and-coming, quote-unquote, at the lower levels. So it's really kind of a shame that the Seth Luttrell narrative got pushed as much as it did. And, you know, I think we're all a little bit responsible for that, some more than others. But this isn't any reason. Just because Seth Luttrell didn't get the job doesn't mean that K-State fans should be out here being anti-Chris Klieman. That's pretty you're never going to win, I guess, if you have that approach.
So are you telling me that the reports about Luttrell, it came down to the buyout, that's why it fell through? Luttrell was interested, would take the job, but was told he had to keep certain assistants on staff from Bill Snyder's regime. You're saying that's all bogus?
Well, first off, about the staff members, I don't believe that was entirely accurate. I believe it was floated out
mm-hmm.
to him. I believe he said, hey, would you be interested in keeping the staff on?
Yep.
And I believe Seth Luttrell probably said, no, I want to bring in my own guys, and that probably worked negatively against him.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that there had something to do with a buyout issue there. I believe that Gene Taylor said, if we offered you this job, you know, this would be the buyout. And I guarantee you, Seth Luttrell said, I want something in there that says if I go to Oklahoma, you know, kind of like Jim Leavitt, I don't have a buyout. And that would have been absurd for Kansas State to offer. So I think those things were small factors, but there's no way that they were ready to put pen to paper. And then that kind of came up, and they said, whoa, let's back off here. He was never as close as some people believed. It was never a done deal. The contract was never agreed to, and that story took on a life of its own for the last 2 months, and it's been quite the whirlwind of emotions, without a doubt.
The top three candidates for most people was, well, the real super sexy pick was Brent Venables, which I've said all along, that's a pipe dream. He's not coming. And then Luttrell was very popular, as you said. And then, of course, Jim Leavitt was always mentioned. How far did things, as far as you know, did K-State talk to Venables at all? Did Venables just say, I'm not interested? Or K-State maybe wasn't as interested in Venables as the fan base was? And the same question applies to Jim Leavitt, because I heard reports that he and Gene maybe didn't have the best interview, if there was, in fact, a full interview. I don't know what happened behind closed doors. What do you know in regards to Venables and to Leavitt for this position?
I know that they've talked to, like, all the names that we've tossed around over the last month or so, few weeks, however long you want to talk about it. They spoke to all of them, whether or not it was a official interview, an informal interview, whatever. They spoke to them. the rumor out there is that, you know, they did offer Brent Venables some sort of contract, and that he turned it down. I can't confirm that one way or another. I mean, and you're never going to get anybody to go on the record with that, but that's kind of the chatter out there, is they offered him something. So who knows how much truth there is to that. And then with Jim Leavitt, I believe that he was a lot closer than people think. There were people out there saying, oh, he's not even being considered for the position. He's nowhere near a potential candidate for this. And honestly, I would bet, you know, this isn't me knowing, I would bet that when it came down to it, Jim Leavitt was in the top three here, potentially even the top two. Had Chris Klieman not been the guy, I think Jim Leavitt probably is it. So I really think that this was, I think it was Klieman from the start, if I'm being honest with you.
Really?
I think he wanted Chris Klieman from the start, but he was going to go through the vetting process and see if there was a better candidate out there that would take the job. I think he did his interviews, and we know that he talked to Klieman for the first time on Thursday. That's what Chris Klieman has said himself. And that's pretty late in the process, you know, compared to when he was kind of talking to other people. So I think he said, I think I want Chris Klieman. I'll talk to everybody else to make sure I'm covering all my bases, and then I'll, you know, hit up Chris Klieman on Thursday. Well, when stuff started to leak, he kind of panicked, I think. I think he said, well, you know, I didn't expect this type of backlash from the fans about Chris Klieman. So I think he had to take a few days to really, I think we might have gotten an announcement on like Friday or something like that, had there not been that much of a negative pushback. That's just me guessing. But I really think he had Chris Klieman circled as the guy, and then he had to take a few days to kind of readjust and to kind of evaluate the situation and make sure this was the best move. And at the end of the day, Gene Taylor went with his gut over what, you know, the fans were screaming at him on Twitter, and I think that that's good. I think that that shows you have a guy that you can trust in leadership, a guy that's not easily swayed, and if he feels one way, he's going to feel that way. So that's just my gut. I can't tell you that for sure, but that's definitely what it feels like to me.
That's interesting, because I've thought all along the fallback plan would have been Leavitt, that we know Leavitt would take the job, so we're going to go through the whole process, try to find somebody better, maybe younger, a guy that's coached here in the last 9 or 10 years, the head coach, and if all else fails, we always know that Leavitt will probably take the job. And it sounds to me what you're saying is kind of the same thing, except that Klieman was kind of the fallback plan in regards to, yep, I always know I've got him, that he'll take the job, but let me go ahead and see if there's somebody maybe better out there that I can get, and if I can, the fallback plan is Chris Klieman. It seems like Klieman and Leavitt were kind of those guys that were there in case they didn't find the sexy hire, and that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is what happened. Now, the phrase fallback, you know, that it comes off as a negative tone, but
right,
it's really not. You know, I think that he saw those two guys as viable candidates, knowing, you know, hey, I probably don't have to compete with anybody for these guys.
Right.
These, you know, We know, you know, the quote's been thrown around a million times over the last 2 weeks that Jim Leavitt would crawl hands and knees to get to Manhattan, Kansas, and we knew that Chris Kleiman would jump at the opportunity to coach at the Power 5 level. So why not focus your energy towards some candidates out there that might be a little bit sexier, you might not know that much about, and they could surprise you. And then if you like them, go with them. And if you don't, go to your guys that you know are going to take the job. That's the way I think this went. I really would be interested to see Gene Taylor's thoughts on it, assuming he's willing to talk to us about it. But this has been a fascinating search. It was 8 days long, and it feels like it was 18 days long. There was a new favorite every day, it seemed like. I mean, heck, yesterday, literally, I went on Kevin Keithman's show on 810 yesterday at about 4 o'clock, and at that moment in time, I was starting to think that Chris Kleiman might not be in contention for this job. It was a gut feeling I was having. I was thinking, hey, if he hasn't been offered or accepted this job by now, it's probably not going to come. And then literally about an hour and a half later, I got a text saying that there would be an announcement at some point that night. And then stuff started to leak that it was Chris Kleiman. So maybe it wasn't exactly the greatest look for me, but this has been one of the toughest coaching searches, I think, to crack in quite some time. And kudos to Gene Taylor for really playing this one close to the vest. I mean, I think he did a phenomenal job of not letting things leak out, of keeping a very tight circle. We have some pretty good connections, I would say, and we couldn't even get some things out of certain people. So it's been a lot of fun to cover, and now we'll be interested to see, you know, kind of the direction this thing goes, because it's a whole new era now.
Yeah, it is. Go Paracats. Riley Gates, our guest every Tuesday on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit and Heineken Electric Residential and Commercial Electric Service Company. Well, you know, and I think you and I have talked about this, and I know Dusty and I and Chad have talked about this, and we discussed it for quite some time, that we just had this inkling that it was never going to be Leavitt, and we had this inkling that it wasn't going to be Venables. It was going to be a guy outside the Bill Snyder coaching tree, and it was going to be a guy that Gene Taylor was going to hire his guy. He wasn't going to, you know, wilt under the pressure of everybody saying you got to get this person or Bill Snyder approves of this guy. He was going to get his guy. And the thinking behind all that was, listen, Gene Taylor's, in essence, any AD's job is in line when you have to hire a new head football coach, especially following a legend. So if you're going to pick a guy to replace Bill Snyder and you want to succeed down the line, you better pick your guy and not think 5 years from now, if you pick Leavitt and it doesn't work out, I disagree with somebody in Kansas City saying, well, he just get an automatic free pass because, well, it was Snyder's guy, he'd get to hire another guy. I don't buy that. Maybe they give you a little latitude there, but it's still Gene Taylor making that decision, not Bill Snyder. So if you're going to go down swinging and if you're going to hire a guy, you better pick the guy you're comfortable with to give you what you feel is the best chance to keep your job down the line. And I think that's what Gene Taylor did.
Yeah. I do think it went that way too. Now this is where we're going to differ. I'm in the camp that if he hires a K-State guy, a Jim Leavitt, or a Brent Venables, you know, that's, I don't want to say free pass. I don't want to say that he'd easily get off if things went wrong, but nobody's going to blame Gene Taylor for a quote-unquote bad hire if he, you know, hires Brent Venables, the prodigal son of K-State football, or if he hires Jim Leavitt, the guy that Bill Snyder's wanted, the guy that K-State allegedly set up a succession plan with. It would have been the safe hire, and while he still might have been, you know, put his job on the line there and could have been fired if things went south, I think he has a little bit more of a case to come back and say, like, you know, I tried to do what Coach Snyder wanted. I tried to honor him to a certain extent, and clearly it didn't work out. Now let me go get my guy. Or maybe it wouldn't matter at all. Maybe you're right. I'm not sure where the hypothetical firing process of Gene Taylor would have gone had something like that gone south. But, yeah, any other hire is going to put – literally anybody outside of Jim Leavitt or Brent Venables is going to put your job on the line. If you're Gene Taylor, because this is the biggest hire you're ever going to make in your career. So, yeah, why not go down with someone you trust? I'd much rather hire my guy in Chris Kleiman and say, all right, let's do this. Let's ride. And let's see what happens. I know what you are as a football coach. I know what you can do. Come take this program back to where it needs to be. And then if you go down with a guy that that you feel comfortable with, the guy that you put your trust in, and you don't have any regrets because from the start that was your guy, and it was the guy that you felt the most comfortable with. So I don't see how you can really go down with that and then, you know, be regretful for hiring him.
Well, and I agree with you for the Venables part because that's what everybody wanted. But the Leavitt one, because of how things ended at South Florida, if Leavitt comes on and there's another incident, anything close to that, it's not going to be Bill Snyder blamed for it. It's going to be Gene Taylor. You didn't vet him enough. You needed to know this isn't going to happen again. He'd had this happen. You should have seen it coming. And I know that is hindsight's 20/20, but that, I think, is what some of the fans would have done if that would happen. And I think that's why when people say Jim Leavitt was a safe pick, I disagree from the standpoint that look at his previous track record and how it ended at South Florida. I don't, to me, that is not necessarily a safe pick per se for different aspects outside of other than, well, that's the guy that Bill Snyder was good with and there was the plan to him to be the successor. So I think there was certainly more risk with Leavitt than there would have ever been with Venables, because Venables was the sexy hire. And if it doesn't work out, there's not too many K-State fans could say, well, I never wanted that guy to start with. And I get your point totally on that.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the guy that is the head coach now, and that is Chris Klieman. He said, and we played the quote earlier today on the show, that he believes he's ready to be the head coach at a Power 5 university, obviously, or he wouldn't take the job. A couple other things that were noteworthy. He's going to stay on as the head coach at North Dakota State for the playoff run, which I understand from a coaching angle. You've invested with these kids. What's another couple of weeks? Now, K-State fans could say, well, that cost us and could hurt us in recruiting. We'll get your thoughts on that in a moment. And then the other thing is talking about possibly retaining some of Bill Snyder's staff on his staff when he takes over here at K-State. So among those things I brought up, what are your thoughts on a few of those?
Let's start with the retaining of the staff. I think that he probably will retain some certain members. I think you got to look at this defense and say that, you know, while they may not have been solid for 12 games, I think they really came on strong late. And I think Blake Seiler is one of the brightest young minds out there right now, and I think he's a hell of a defensive coordinator. And so I think you've got to try to keep him on. If you're Chris Klieman, I think he's a guy that knows the landscape really well. A guy like Brian Norwood, I think, really improved the secondary this year. So maybe you have a better option out there. And if you do, I guess you can go with him. But I would encourage him to keep Brian Norwood as well. The offense is a little bit tricky because it was bad. It was really bad. And I don't think Andre Coleman really kind of put his best resume out there for Chris Klieman to retain him. Really, the only one that I could see them keeping on the offensive side would be Colin Klein.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's not really so much what he did, it's so much who he is, you know? You already are coming into a situation where it's a little bit hostile about who you are. You know, you have some skeptics out there about your hiring, and then you're going to not retain one of the top football players in program history. So I would think that he would keep Colin Klein on. Maybe that helps you with recruiting a little bit. But, you know, I don't know where his head is at. I don't know who he has ties to off the top of my head right this second. I feel pretty confident that he's probably going to keep Taylor Brad on as well,
mm-hmm.
whether or not he promotes him to an official coach position and gets him out on the road more, I don't know. But this is a guy that knows the state of Kansas well for recruiting, and I think he would need to keep him on just to get his feet wet a little bit in the state of Kansas. So those would kind of be my initial guesses, I think, but I don't really know where Chris Klieman's head is. We'll get a little bit better idea on Wednesday when we talk to him at the press conference. And then what was the other part? I'm sorry.
Staying on at North Dakota State for the rest of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Now, I personally don't like that. I wrote a story about this today, and it's up on our website right now, but I think there's a little bit of pros and cons to it. Pro, you can win another national championship, and how nice would it be to walk into a recruit's house and have four national championship rings, not to mention the national championships he won as an assistant coach under Craig Bull, and kind of flash those. I mean, even at the FCS level, that's a pretty talented or pretty nice card to play right there. And then on the flip side, I think that if you, I feel this way about every coach. If you accept a job, I understand you want to finish out the year with your guys. You've been through a lot with them, and you want to see it through. I get that. I understand those feelings. But at the end of the day, what does, you know, the FCS National Championship mean to 2019 K-State football coach Chris Klieman? What does the, I think it's the New Mexico Bowl, what does that mean to Utah State coach Matt Wells, who's going to be at Texas Tech next year? It doesn't mean anything. To me, if you're at a new job, you come in from day one and you get going. You know, you start this up right now. If I took a job tomorrow, I wouldn't ask to stay with GoPowerCat through, you know, the hiring of the Chris Klieman staff or the basketball season. You know, I would get in my new job and I would get going right away. I think in football that means a lot because you got to start recruiting. This is a crucial time, obviously, with National Signing Day right around the corner. I think Chris Klieman would be more benefited to get out there and start to present himself as K-State's football coach. But, hey, he wants to finish out the year. K-State, I guess, encouraged him to do that, which I was really shocked by, that they were the ones to suggest that. But if that's the way they feel, that's the way they feel, and I guess we'll see how it pans out. But to me, I think you're really putting yourself behind the eight ball if you don't show up, because they're going to play for the national championship. I don't see any way that they lose South Dakota State on Friday. They're 8-point favorites, and that means that they won't be done with the season until January 5th. So he's getting in here about the 6th or 7th at the earliest, and that's just really late in the process.
Well, okay, and I understand what you're saying. I do get it. And I do wonder what the perspective would be if, let's say, Klieman was at Kansas State and then he took a job, and I think a lot of K-State fans would be really upset if he left before the season was over to go take another job. And so it's always one of those things, well, if you put yourself in the same situation, I think the weird part of this or the odd part of this is I agree with you on the bowl game part with Coach Wells and all that. Any bowl game, you know, what's the big deal there? It's just a regular bowl game. But this is, they're in the playoffs. And for a national championship and for a national championship ring, I think it's just a unique circumstance, to be quite honest with you. And I understand both perspectives on it. I think the one way that he could kind of split the difference on this a little bit is how quickly he moves on assembling a staff so that they, if they're really good at recruiting, they can go do the legwork for him while he's, you know, I would say distracted. He's worrying about the new job, and he's worrying about his current job. And I don't know how much, if he puts 60% of his effort into the North Dakota State job and 40% K-State job until, you know, the championship game or vice versa. But I think that's one way he could hedge his bet a little bit, putting together a staff very quickly, which would really make sense to keep a couple of guys from Bill Snyder's staff to help him with that.
Oh, that's exactly what I was just about to say. If you're going to stay here until January, or at North Dakota State till January 5th, that you have to keep some of these guys on. There's just no way you can run a successful recruiting cycle with an entirely new staff. You know, you send one of your brand new assistants into someone's house and they say, well, what's K-State all about?
Yeah.
And they don't know. And, you know, well, what's it like working for Coach Klieman? And, you know, well, when I worked for him at this school, it's going to work against you totally if you do that. So, yeah, absolutely. Keep some of these guys on, get them out on the trail for you, and then they can, you know, preach what type of a coach Chris Klieman is, what type of a winner he is, and then when it comes down to what is K-State about, they can give you a confident answer. They know it. So I think that's pretty noteworthy, and probably that's why, you know, I don't know this for a fact, but I would assume that in their interview, Chris Klieman probably said, yeah, you know, I'm going to keep some of those guys on. Coach X, Y, Z, whatever. I see some pretty talented guys there, and I'm going to keep them on. And that's probably why K-State said, okay, go ahead and finish out the year. And if that's the case, then maybe they're also not going to be landing any 4 and 5 stars at this point, you know.
Right.
No school's picking up super talented players. You're kind of getting these leftover guys that could pan out into something and also at the same time might not. So I'd say that they're behind the eight ball. They're already kind of there with the way that Bill Snyder and his staff finished the recruiting cycle there. But I guess you just got to hit the ground running really hard for 2020 and kind of make up for that lost time.
Okay, a couple quickies before we get to off to the wall. The contract, $2.3 million annually. I believe that's still the lowest paid in the Big 12. Les Miles, $2.775 at Kansas. I think he took less to have more in the budget to hire some good assistants. Surprised by the number? What are your thoughts on the contract?
Man.
Because he's making what, half a million? Was that what he's making at North Dakota State? Now he gets a $1.8 million raise. That's pretty sweet. No wonder he took the job.
I think it's probably a fine – here's where I'm at on it. I don't have a problem with what they're paying him, because how often can you get a Big 12 football coach for under $2 million a year?
Yeah.
But also at the same time, I feel like they could have offered him like 1.5 or something like that and still gotten him. He would have jumped at the opportunity to coach at the Power 5. So I'm kind of indifferent on the salary.
Yeah. That's why I said when KU hired Turner Gill, he would have taken it for $1 million, and they gave him, I think, $1.5 million.
Exactly.
And it's like, why? I mean, come on. Why give him more when you know he would have taken less? But what? And then prove himself, and then you can put in all kinds of bonuses and everything else. Okay. Mm-hmm. The other quick question for you, if somebody's listening right now that's interested in Chris Klieman, don't know a lot about him, what would you say are his best attributes or what he brings to the table to where he got – why he got the job besides his relationship with Gene Taylor?
Right. I think he's a fit, okay? The thing with K-State fans is they want a fit. They want a person that understands their culture, that understands what it's like to be this, you know, small town, we win with three stars, we outwork you, all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of exactly what Chris Klieman does. That's the type of guy he is. I know for a fact that fit was important to this hiring process, and they feel that Chris Klieman is a guy that just fits. So this isn't Ron Prince. This isn't somebody from the outside that doesn't understand what's going on is going to come in here and try to hit the reset button and say, you know, this is my program now. We're going to do it my way. He's going to have his ways. He's going to have his things that he does. But at the same time, you know, he knows what it was built on. He knows how it all got started. And there's no way that he's going to, just completely discredit everything that's happened in the last however many years of K-State football.
So much talk about how the fans don't have a lot of energy for this hire, but I think based off a lot of reactions on social media for some of current and former players and alumni of Kansas State, I think there is an energy within that group, and that might be certainly much more important than the energy that is outside of the locker room when it comes to this change. Just a thought, food for thought there. Okay, real quickly, the men's basketball team, bad loss at Tulsa. I don't know how to even describe it. Both those teams set offense back about 25 years. Tough to watch. Tulsa's not a great team. Kansas State is not a good or great team right now. And I think you touched upon it early on before the season. Same team from last year. We get caught up in the Elite Eight run and a great week and a half. But this is also the same team that was on the bubble for a while, struggled offensively, couldn't shoot against the zone, and Dean Wade's passive, sometimes aggressive, and right now Dean and Barry are really struggling. As a result, K-State having a hard time scoring points and lose at Tulsa.
Yeah, man, I don't want to sit here and say I told you so. I'm mad that I'm right in this situation, but if they lose in the second round of Virginia, they're a potential top 20 team. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. And this is not – I don't believe that this is the second-best team in the Big 12. I mean, at least not right now. No. You cannot make that case. I think they're talented, and do I think that they could get to a point where they're contending by late January, early February? Absolutely. I think that they could be in that hunt. But I think that this is a team that they wanted – they said the right things. You know, they said that they're not – getting excited about their ranking. They said that they're not overlooking opponents and feeling that anything is guaranteed to them. But I think that they are. I think that they just looked at it and said, oh, man, we went to the Elite Eight and we got everybody back this year and everything like that. And maybe the hard work went aside. This is a crucial month. You know, they've got Georgia State coming in this weekend, and that's a team that's beaten two SEC teams already, one of them by 20. And then they've got Southern Miss should be a pretty easy win, and they've got to play a really tough Vanderbilt team in Kansas City before coming home and playing George Mason, another team that might push them a little bit. And you know, frankly, this is a team that is nothing more than a bubble team right now. And it's not going to get any easier when the Big 12 play really ramps up and gets going. So they've got a long way to go. And I think that I understand Bruce Weber's a nice guy. I understand he likes his kids and he doesn't want to get after them. But you've got to start snapping at them. You've got to start calling them out in press conferences and things like that. I mean, do something to fire them up, something to motivate them. Making excuses and saying that you played hard when in a game where you didn't score 50 points. Come on, that's Bush League. I mean, I'm sorry. There's no other way for me to put that. You scored 46 points and you shot 19 three-pointers, hit like four of them. You didn't play hard. You showed up, you stopped caring, and you lost to a team that you're far better than.
Yep, I agree. It's a bad loss. We'll talk more about K-State men's basketball next week a little bit more in-depthly, but the coaching search, of course, has taken up most of our time with you, Riley. Time for the off-the-wall question. Josh Johnson was picked up by the Redskins, and he used Madden, the video game Madden, to get acclimated and understand and find out what the name of his teammates were. That helped him. So what is your favorite video game? You ever use a video game to help you? I've heard people say they played Madden, that helps them in regards to sometimes recognition of some schemes, and then they go play high school or college football. That helps a little bit. I've heard people claim that with basketball too. I don't know. It seems a little far-fetched. It is a video game, but I could see the connection there. What about you?
So what's my favorite video game, or what video game have I used to help me?
Yeah, you could answer both of those. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, I mean, I got to be honest with you. When I played football, I played defensive line, so I didn't need to know an offensive line. I didn't need to know schemes.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't need to know any of that. It was simply hit the guy in front of you. And so whenever I play someone in Madden that I'm far better at video games, then I'm not very good because I just kind of pick random defenses, and then I get burned. My favorite video game is Fortnite. I know that's not a good answer.
Wow, Mr. Majority here.
Out there. Dude, if I have time to play Fortnite, basically yesterday there was a point where nothing was happening. You know, we didn't know if we were going to get an announcement. We didn't have any more potential things to write. We were just kind of sitting and waiting. I said, screw it, and I took like an hour and a half long break and just played Fortnite. We've got a PlayStation in the office. But Fortnite is my escape from sports. Every now and then, and so that's what I like to hit the sticks with.
My 12-year-old has about 15 or 20 video games that we actually bought over the years, and the one he plays is Fortnite, which we didn't have to pay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. it just drives me nuts a little bit. Well, whatever, it's all good. What are you currently working on at GoPowerCat.com?
ChrisKleiman.com, you mean?
Yes, that's the new that's the new website, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's all Chris Kleiman right now. Tons of stuff coming with... We're going to start really diving into, we got a podcast, I'm about to go record that, and then we'll start diving into, you know, maybe some potential staff hires, maybe an offensive coordinator, hot board, things like that. What does this mean for K-State football? The way we're looking at this is, you've got a new coach, but this is far from done, and this isn't just simply a coaching change, this is a culture change at K-State, and we're going to be there through it all, so I'm really excited to see what we can do. Now that Kansas State has a coach and we can move forward with this.
The introductory press conference is going to be when?
Tomorrow at noon.
Okay. We'll have a lot to talk about. I'm sure you guys will break all that down as well on GoPowerCat.com. Riley, always appreciate the time. It's been an interesting ride, and there'll be more to come. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Absolutely. Sounds good, man.
Take care, man. That's Riley Gates of GoPowerCat.com. You can get his work there online, and does a wonderful job. And these guys have been working hard to follow this story, and now we have found out who the new head coach at Kansas State is going to be. The next question or questions will be, who will he hire to complete his staff and how those guys can help in recruiting? So this story far from over, and how it will be judged probably 3, 4, 5 years from now, we'll be able to look back and say, hey, Gene Taylor knew a lot more than most people, and he got it right. Or the fans that aren't in agreement right now can say, told you so, we knew that was the wrong way to go. Only time will tell. But right now, I think as a fan of your sports team, whether it be K-State with a new coach or the Royals with a new manager, whoever it may be, you have to at least give them a chance and see what might take place. Who would have thought Bruce Weber leave K-State to the Elite Eight? And yes, they caught a couple of breaks last year in order to get there, but they still got to Elite Eight. You can't take that away from Coach Weber and his staff. And many people would have never dreamt that would happen, especially going into last year. So you never know how things can change on a dime. Chris Klieman could end up being great the first couple years, and then it could be a downward trend. He could start slow, and everybody wants to get him fired. And then at the fourth or fifth year, he's winning the Big 12 title. We don't know. Nobody has the answer. A lot of people think they do. They can predict the future. You can't. And I just remember some of the greatest coaches that have ever been in sports. And one I can think of right off the bat, Mike Krzyzewski. If he lived in today's climate, he probably would have never been the head coach at Duke, because he started out and he did not have good records as a head coach at Duke. And many times, odds are he would have been fired in today's landscape. But he was given some latitude, given a chance, and he eventually came through. You look at Bill Belichick, didn't have a great run at Cleveland, although he did make the playoffs. He was given another chance, and look what he's done in New England. So sometimes it might not be the first job where a guy excels. Then again, some guys can excel no matter what job it is that they are in charge of, whatever organization or program. But I would just encourage, first of all, I think Kansas fans are behind Les Miles. I encourage KU fans that aren't for Les Miles, that didn't like the hire, get behind your coach, support your program. I say the exact same thing for Kansas State with Chris Klieman. You can't change it. You might not be happy. It might not be the guy you wanted, but now get behind him. He is your new head coach. You wanted a new coach? You've got a new coach. And the same thing, of course, would apply to Scott Frost up at Nebraska, as they've gotten behind him, even though they started 0-6. So let it play out and maybe reserve judgment somewhat. And let Chris Klieman prove himself. And yes, he has to prove himself, because he's now going from FCS to Power 5. It's a big jump. It's been done before, sometimes not successfully. Sometimes it's been done very well. Time will tell if Chris Klieman is the right guy for the job. But Gene Taylor believes he is, and that's all that matters right now.